Okay, we're continuing in the 18th chapter of the Sefer Bilvavi, and we're on page Kuf Pei Zayin, right in the middle. The topic is how to build up a true Ratzon, and we want the kind of Ratzon that acts as a spring that is being pressed in, and this developing a concept of a feeling that one is missing something. To the degree that you are feeling that you are missing something, and it's to that degree you yearn for something. It's like a spring that's being pressed in, that's ready to expand greatly when it's released. And we mentioned two types of feelings of missing: something that you feel in the future you don't have something, and something which is more pressing, that even right now you feel you're missing something. If you feel right now you're missing something, it will bother you more, and you'll have a desire to have it more. So in the middle of an example of what kind of things will make you feel this way, and he talks about looking at the lives of tzaddikim and see what they've accomplished and see how much more they've accomplished than you in life. And we said that can be a double-edged sword, because if you see how great they are and you know you're not there, you know, you're going to give up hope. You know, a child could say, well, look what I could aspire to be, but maybe for an adult, say, to give up hope. And that could be a problem. So that's what we're dealing with now. We're on page Kuf Pei Zayin, the fourth paragraph. Ba'omek amitas hadavar, going into depth to the truth of this concept. Etzem ha'shvo ben shnei bnei adam, the essential concept of comparing two types of people. Tzadik ploni begil mesuyim hoyenirakach, vani begil hazeh niracheres. That a particular tzaddik at this age looks like this, and me at the same age, I look like that. Zu einen akud amitis. That's not really true. True comparison, that isn't really so. Why? Kol adam nivchan l'fikachos nafsha, because everybody is judged according to the abilities that God has given them. As the Gemara says, kishem shepartzufeyam einem shavim, just like their faces aren't the same, kach teoseyam einem shavim, so their minds and everything Hashem put together in making them as the human being that they are not the same. L'chol adam v'adam yesh es tchunas hanefesh shlo, each and every person has his own nature. Es nekudas hamadrega she'ita hu hischilas achayim. Each person has the particular level that with this talent, they begin life. V'lesh l'gam es nesune achayim, and they also have life's circumstances. These are spiritual strengths that you have that are from within, or external circumstances that could help a person, or God forbid, do the opposite. So therefore, that essential comparison, even the measurement and comparison of two people, and trying to create a comparison of just as he is like this, so you can be like that too. So it's not really a true way of looking at something. Now remember, what you're going to see, he's going to try to play both ends against the middle here, so to speak. Now the one that he's saying, you should look at yourself, see the tzaddik at your age, so what do you accomplish? You know, why can't you have done that? And you're supposed to feel bad that, you know, that's supposed to push you to want to move ahead. On the other hand, the person's going to say, you know what, I'm going to give up. So in terms of the giving up, what he's eventually going to say is, you can't compare yourself exactly, but on the other hand, you can. So he's doing on the can't part first. That's the way he's going to take this. So you really can't compare because you don't know. And therefore, you shouldn't feel bad. Elena Ladas, Shekoldover Bibria, we need to know that everything in this world, Hashem created everything in this world to be used in a good way. So let's take an example. Chazal Omrim, our rabbi say, Kinas Sofrim Tarbechokhma. If we are jealous of other people's learning, it will increase wisdom. How we get a person to be smarter? Look at other people who know more than you, and that will prompt you to want to be smarter. Now, Even though in the truest sense, hakino einena amitis, jealousy is not a true way to live. Why? You can't judge a person until you reach his place. Ukvar Omer HaKotzker, and the Kotzker Rebbe has said, She'adam af pam lo yegiel emakomo shel chavero. Nobody is ever going to be able to reach the place of his friend. Kimakomo, because his place, Perusho, Bechol nekudas hamatzav shasheni nimsa. That's every situation that a person, that puts the person into the situation that he's at. Right? So, in other words, what the Kutzgrebi, what he's talking about, we know the Mishnah Pirkei Avos says you should never judge another person until you've been in his makom. Until you've been in his makom. Al tarin es chavercha, don't judge your friend, ad shigilim kombo. Until you've been in his place. So the Kutzgrebi says you can never be in his place. Can't be in his place. You know, can't judge until you've been in his place. So, you know, whatever he did, it's based on his history, his life, his all the things, the schema that made up his life, and everything that he's in through right now. You want to judge him, you know, have you had an identical life that you know how he feels and how he felt when he did what he did, and can understand what he's done? It's impossible. So you're not able to judge another person. So just like you're not able to judge another person, he's saying, you know, really, you shouldn't be jealous of other people. Because jealousy is never, you're not in the same situation the fellow was in. So, on the one hand, so it's really a foolish thing to ever be jealous. What are you jealous of? You know, you don't know his situation. You know, it's, we look at people and we think they have it all. Wish I was like him. And I guarantee you, there isn't one family in this shul that doesn't have tzaras. And if you think there's one family in the shul that doesn't have tzaras, then you just don't know, right? And it's all kinds of problems. You know, this one has parnasa problems. This one has problems with the spouse. This one has problems with the kids. This one has problems with their health. This one has problems with self-esteem. This one has problems with drugs. You name it. You know, but superficially, you know, people, some people are better than others at covering it up. So you don't see it. But there's always problems, and not small problems, big problems, right? Big problems. So we're going to be jealous of people? Jealous of the rich people who can have such broken lives in their homes? You're jealous of that? It just doesn't happen. And there's, you know, so what are you jealous of? That's what he's saying. What's there to be jealous? Jealousy is such a not true way of looking at things. Oh, he's got the best wife in the world. He's got, you know, they got other problems. You know, I wish I was like him. You know, it's incredible. You know, the great fort that we all know. If everybody would come into one room, and they would put their peckle of problems into the middle of a room. Here's my whole life's problems, and everybody gets to see what everybody's problems are. They'd be running to take their peckle back. You know why? Because Hashem only gave you the koiches to deal with the peckle that you have, and you couldn't deal with anybody else's peckle. The peckle's a package. Right? That's the way it is. So you're jealous. And jealousy is such a foolish thing. So on the one hand, you know, essentially jealousy is a foolish thing. Still, im kol zo, still at all, there is a concept of kina seifim tar b'chachma. If you're jealous of other people, it can increase your learning. Slimudno Chazal, our rabbis have taught us, Kikina Seifrim Tar B'Chachma, Umutra Hosea Lassos Kol Minei Dvorim Loras Akina Balev B'nai Adam Shinasu Damas L'Chavreim and the Kudus HaTov Shebahem. It's permitted for a person to use the device of jealousy to arouse in his heart, to try to be like his friends in terms of the good aspects of life. In other words, that person knows a lot of Torah wisdom. So you should try to emulate that person. Something wrong with that. That's in other words, just like every aspect of life, every attribute, there's a holy way of using it and a not holy way of using it. So, you know, the fact that God did create within a person this concept of jealousy. Jealousy, I would say, is a misguided use of ambition. Right? Ambition is a good thing to have ambition. Don't have ambition, never get anywhere in life. Even in the Jewish, in the spiritual life, you'll get nowhere. You need ambition. So now there's a good way of having ambition. Now that's what the tzaddik is trying to show us. There's a good aspect of ambition. And that's what jealousy is really saying. Why can't I be like that other guy? Why can't I have what that other guy has? Now, when we're talking about physical things, then ambition is a bad thing. When we're talking about spiritual things, then ambition is a good thing. Why? Because in the physical world, you have to realize that Hakol Bidei Shemayim Chutz Miyir Shemayim. Everything is in God's hands except for the fear of God. So when it comes to physical things, God's already kind of determined what it is. And if somebody has more money than you, you have to realize that that was the will of Hashem. The will of Hashem is that he does his Avodas Hashem with more money and you do Avodas Hashem with less money. And that's finished. And for you to be jealous of another person or to cover the person means you think God made a mistake in how he dealt the cards. You made a mistake. Why did you make him rich and make poor? Wouldn't it make more sense to make me rich and him poor? Right? So now, you don't realize what you're saying. You would never say it. If you really thought it through, you wouldn't be jealous. But you're saying, you made a mistake. I'm supposed to have this. So that's ridiculous. But when it comes to Yirah Shamayim, comes to fear of God, comes to spiritual things, it's all in your hands. It's all in your hands. So when you see somebody knows more Torah than you, so then what are you talking about? So he knows more Torah, so get going and learn Torah. It's also another interesting part. When it comes to physical things, there is a limited amount of resources in this world. And if you want to, jealousy of what someone has quite often leads to wanting what somebody else has and taking what somebody else has. And that happens as well. And usually, these physical things aren't going to make your life any better. If a guy knows a certain amount of Talmud and you're jealous of that, if you're going to learn it, it's not going to take it away from him. It's not going to take it away from him. So there is a healthy way. We find this in the Torah. We see that Rachel was jealous of Leah. It says explicitly she was jealous of Leah. And Rashi right over there says she was jealous of what? She was jealous of, On the surface, it appears that she was jealous that this one had four children, she didn't have any. And right away, Rashi has to comment because that would be an incorrect jealousy. Can't be jealous someone else has kids. But Rashi right away says she was jealous that her sister was a bigger tzaddikas than her, because she understood only because she was a bigger tzaddikas did she have the kids. That was a positive jealousy. She's a tzaddikas, why can't I be a tzaddikas? Everybody's capable of being a tzaddik. The prophet says, "Va'amcha kulam tzaddikim." Your nation, you're all tzaddikim. So she, being raised in Lavan's house, was able to rise up to such a high level that Hashem is able to answer her prayers and give her children. Why shouldn't I be able to do that? Now, that's a positive kind of jealousy. Because again, we're calling kosher jealousy and not kosher jealousy. Right? And everything in this world is a positive way of doing it and a negative way of doing it. So if the person has kids and you're jealous of the kids, that's a negative. Because God gave the person this kids and didn't give you this. What he gave that one is what they need, and what you have is what you need. And what he's putting you in this time is what you should have. Something to be jealous about. But the real jealousy was because she knew that the kids was only a sign. It was only a litmus test as to who was the more righteous person, who had worked through themselves more to be more of a righteous person. And she felt, now not necessarily this was true, by the way, not necessarily Leah was a bigger tzaddikas than Rachel, but that's how Rachel viewed it. And she didn't know that really Hashem was answering Leah because she was the hated one. And there was a different reason why Leah was answered to. A different reason. But that's not what Rachel knew. But the Torah is still telling us what Rachel thought. And that's important because Rachel said, if my sister could be a tzaddikas, I can be a tzaddikas. And that's a healthy type of jealousy because it's wanting what? It's wanting to be close to Hashem. Now there's unhealthy ways of taking on religious aspects, which is a thing you got to be careful about. Somebody says, well, everybody in my neighborhood has Kol Yisrael. Everyone in my neighbor has this and that. And all the external trappings of Yiddishkeit. And I want that without the internal part that's supposed to go side by side with that. That could be an unhealthy thing. So you have to be careful what you're looking for. A lot of times, these quote-unquote religious things aren't religious at all from the perspective if they're hollow without any closeness to Hashem related to it. So if you're just saying, you know, well, how's it going to look? They keep Klal Yisrael, we don't keep Klal Yisrael. They all have bought a black hat, I have to have a black hat. You know, that alone isn't necessarily going to be a healthy thing, although sometimes it is a positive thing. So you got to get away. The critical point we're saying is that the jealousy should come from the internal spiritual development that other people have. You should be jealous of that and want to have that internal spiritual development in yourself. And that's a fine thing, because that arouses the heart to want to have things that are genuine and good. And those are the only things you should be jealous of that other people have. Okay? You know what? Let me do one more paragraph, because he didn't finish, even begin to be finishing the thought. So let me just finish the thought, because there's other sides here. Second paragraph. Kesha'odah makesh nekudas akina einena amitis be'etzim. When a person recognizes that the point of jealousy isn't really true, though, but it's only a utensil, a means to arouse the person to yearn to get close to Hashem. So marviach b'zeh eshnei nekudas. He kind of gains the 2 points. He's able to split through the middle. In other words, mitzad echad, on the one hand, yesh lo dachaf pinimi lahasig hasdvar. There's an inner force that's pushing him to achieve these spiritual goals, which is good. On the other hand, yedias malas hachover einen shverso. Knowing what the other fellow has so much more than you will not break you. Because he knows that really comparing yourself between two people isn't true. So he's got to still save, close a few loose ends over here. In other words, he's saying, you look at the other person, and on the other hand, you say, why can't I be like him? You know, I should be able to be like him, and that should push me to become better. And on the other hand, yeah, but look where he's at. You're never going to be what he's at. Well, listen, he's different. He was given better opportunities than me. So why should I compare myself to him? He was born to Rosh Hashiva, and I wasn't. So obviously, that's why he's ahead of me. That's obviously why he's ahead of me. But that doesn't matter. He has accomplished levels of spirituality. I should be able to accomplish levels of spirituality. So now we got to read a little more. He wants the good part of jealousy and doesn't want the bad part of jealousy. So he's trying to find a way, and that's what the exercise is on the next page. He's going to show us how he's going to get there. Okay, so there's a lot of loose ends that have to be worked out over here. But on the one hand, he's saying, look at another person. He's your age. Look what he's accomplished. You should be accomplishing, right? On the other hand, you're going to get depressed. I can never be like him. So you got to realize, well, he isn't really like you. So then, of course, then how could you demand from you to be like him if you can't be like him? So now, amnam hagam she'emes hadavar shemitzad nekuda vadoi se'efshel adam shnei b'nei adam. He says, in the truth of the matter is, from in a degree of certainty, we can't compare two people. Can't for sure say, why am I not like him? Because how do you know you like him? Right? So you can't certainly say that we were the same. But from a doubtful position, we haven't left either. Whereas, but he could have had the same potentials as you as well. So on the one hand, you know, you could say maybe he had more, but on the other hand, maybe he didn't. How do you know that the powers of the tzaddik were any more than yours? Maybe the opposite. Maybe he had less than you ability, and he's become greater. So what is he trying to say? Klomer. We can't take this as a certainty that he was given life's circumstances to be better than me, and he has all the tools to be better than me. We can't assume that with certainty. But in terms of doubt, and to use it as a tool, it should arouse you to push yourself in an inner way to reach what you can reach, and that is a fitting thing to do. Okay? So, let's just bring a little bit more. Be'etzem, essentially, Eitz Hazuk Varli Madar Ramchal. Lutzar already gave us his advice in his Sefer Derech Eitz HaChaim. Because the Shami writes, Shal Aram Likra Sipur Mal Gedol Yisrael, you're supposed to read stories about great Jews. And those words should arouse us to be like them. Im Ledugma, for example, Kore Aram Al Tzadik Ploni Shayot Dovak B'Kodesh Baruch Hu Koyomov. You read about a tzadik who always is attached to God. He never left his thinking of Hashem for a minute. Right, you read stories, I forgot which Gadol in the Eretz Yisrael, I forgot which one it was. It was an elderly Rav, and they had to do a surgery on him. I'm trying to remember all the details of the story. The main point, I remember the details. And it was dangerous to give him, an anesthetic. It would be dangerous. This was like years ago, so they didn't know how anesthetics worked to the degree they do now. It would be very dangerous to have anesthetic, so they weren't sure what to do with him. So he says, they were supposed to, they didn't know what to do. Give him the anesthetic, it would be dangerous. Not give him the anesthetic, it would be very painful. So the tzaddik says, give me the anesthetic, and I won't fall asleep. He says, what? Just give me the anesthetic, I won't fall asleep. He says, how's that? Just give me my tefillin. He says, make sure I have my tefillin on while you're operating on me. Because why? Because once the tefillin are on, you're not allowed to sleep with your tefillin on. And there's no way I'll sleep. Okay? So they gave him the anesthetic. So at least the anesthetic would help in terms of not feeling the pain, but he wouldn't fall asleep. And so it was. They gave him the anesthetic. He had the tefillin on. He never fell asleep because it's impossible. It's unimaginable for tzaddik to sleep with his tefillin on. No matter how tired you are. So you see, it's unbelievable. Dveikus Hashem. That story can inspire you to figure out how much the guy can think about Hashem. Can think about Hashem to such an extent. It's unbelievable. So now you're going to say, well, I'm not going to be like that. Right? But the truth of the matter is, I love lam of least bonem, but you should at least think. Kamas man beyom uzorchas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How often do you think about Hashem? How much does he think about it? Right? At least you should see what are human beings capable of doing. Now, again, okay, so maybe you can't do that, but can't you do something? Can't you do anything? I mean, you're human. Like, he's human. Okay, so he does it 24/7. Can't you do it for a few minutes a day? I mean, can't you even do that? So, I mean, so I understand how hard this is for people to accept this. Sipurim me'ein elo al gedol Yisrael shal yisichu das kimat l'chalutim. Certain stories about great rabbis who never, ever stopped thinking about Hashem. Tzrichim l'or b'korei es hakor amiti shigam bo yesh chelek al kamel. You know what they're supposed to arouse in you? You got to realize that you got the same godly source that he has. He's only able to do what he does is because he's tapped into his inner neshama. Well, guess what? You have the same inner neshama that he has. The difference is he's tapped into it and you haven't. The next page. That part, you could be connected at all times. So it should arouse in you an inner yearning. If he's able, I should be able to do this. And the truth is, you could. Again, it is possible to think about Hashem all the time. It's just a question of training. You haven't trained yourself, so you can still train yourself. So again, you're not, okay, I'm not going to suggest that you're going to be able to know as much Talmud as people have been learning for the last 50 years. But you certainly have a chelik in Talmud. And you can do what you can do to achieve certain levels. So I would say, okay, so maybe we shouldn't learn. I would suggest a little different. I wouldn't look at stories of people who were born as Gedolim. Look at people who became Baal Tshuvas when they were 40 years old. And there are those who know a ton. So compare yourself to them. They're guys who, later on in life, they came to Yiddishkeit and they made a decision that they are going to, they're going to dedicate a good part of their lives to learning Torah. So you have certain guys who, there's certain guys who, not here, but in other places, that had certain professions, and they said, I'm only going to work half-time at my profession. That's it. And I'm going to sit and learn till noon every day, and then I'll go to work. Every day. Sit down, and they know the Masechtas of Talmud. They know it. because they said it's got to be. So compare yourself to those kinds of people. There's many stories of Baal Tshuvas who are Talmidei Chachamim. So compare yourself to them. But there is what to compare yourself to. So on the one hand, you have to, okay, maybe I won't be as great as that person. But to be somewhere in that zone, I should be able to expect for myself. But you see that other people can do it. So if other people can do it, so why can't you do it? And there's many people who are in relatively similar, were in relatively similar straits. So why can't you be able to do this? So I think when he's writing here, I mean, in this area specifically, I think he's writing to the FFBs. So I'm just modifying it. So I'm just saying, so okay. So I could give you many stories of Baal Tshuvas who are very spiritual, very spiritual. And I could point them out to you and they look completely FFB. But, it worked on it. And you couldn't tell that they were ever not religious in their lives. And they know a lot. So you could have that. So we should work on finding stories like that. So I'll have to work on that. I don't know how many books are written on that subject. But that's something to read, to know that other people could do exactly what you could do. Now, in the exercises, he's going to drill it home better. The exercises do a better job than the logical presentation. Okay, now question time.
You kind of alluded to it, I think. Is there a difference between jealousy and yearning?
Well, jealous people who are jealous yearn. People who are jealous yearn. Right? It's one of the tools.
Yearning seems like a reasonably positive thing.
Yeah, you could yearn without being jealous, but jealousy will bring yearning out. I'm jealous that person has more money than me, so I'll yearn to have the house that he has. That's yearning. It's not a positive yearning, but it's a yearning. And that you can yearn without seeing it in other people at all. But what he's trying to say is use the aspect of jealousy in a positive way to create the yearning that you haven't been able to create on your own. You yearn to be able, you see people who can sit down in front of a Gemara and learn it. Except for Aaron Chumash, they can understand it. And you say, boy, I'm so jealous of those people. Why can't I be that way? Okay, so you can. You can. Just get going. So you can yearn for it. It'll cause you to yearn. You see there's a gap. How come these parents can do their homework with their kids and I can't? I could. I could. If I really worked on it, I could. I'm going to have to I have to work hard on it. But it could be. Or to yearn forever. To yearn to always think about Hashem. You could always think about Hashem. It's possible to think about Hashem all the time. If you want to invest the time and effort, it's a possibility. And you see that there are people who can do it. So then why, it's not possible. Well, that tzaddik's not a human being. He's a human being just like you are. The Chofetz Chaim was not born with a beard. He really wasn't. Really wasn't born with a beard. So, okay, you might not be able to yearn like the Chofetz Chaim. Okay, so do a quarter, do a tenth. Okay, be a tenth of a Chofetz Chaim. I mean, there's amounts that you can't achieve, and you can see it in other people. And in school, you see kids, the other kids can do it, so you try to do it. Now again, you have to be careful how you do this. You can't do it in a way that hurts kids' feelings and this and that. But everybody's learning to a certain extent, so you learn to a certain extent. Some will learn more, some will less, but everybody's capable of achieving that. Okay. I thought I'd get more resistance here. Okay, anyway, let's go to an exercise where he makes it more real for us. It's a little bit theoretical here, but when you see how he explains it, it makes it better. So, Kfiyas Mataras V'Kivun Achaim, establishing a goal and directing your life. We're on Kuf Pei Tes. Adam Yotzei Merosh Minikuda Hanocha Shehu Eina Mesugal Otzeis Adam Gadol. A person, if he starts off with the thought that he'll never become a great person, he's already removed all possibilities of ever achieving any of his ambitions. If you don't think you could be great, forget it. You're going to be nobody. We already elaborated and explained this point. The truth of the matter is, each and every person can be a great person. Even though everybody has their own unique soul, certainly everyone has their own unique soul. But the early rabbis have written, the Rambam said clearly, and others, that everyone can reach the level of Moshe Rabbeinu. Meaning to say what? To reach his root soul. Each individual soul the way it is made. And therefore he can be attached to God. Kimuvan, as is understood. The apex and the ultimate level that every person reaches will depend on their type of soul that they have. So of course, Moshe reached a higher level than anybody else will ever reach. But he maxed his 100% potential. So you max your 100% potential, and you'll have your own little mountain that you have reached. But the essential concept of reaching your soul, everybody can reach their soul. There's no question, everybody can reach their soul. And when you reach your soul, this is what you will be, the greatest you. And the other person is the greatest him or her. See, a person is really looking for truth. You're going to read stories of great leaders. You have to use the ability of imagination. And to envision a simple picture in your mind. Here's the picture. Yom Rod of Yom. Day chases after day. Shavua vod Shavua, week after week. As King David says, the days of a person's life are 70 years, and if you're strong, they're 80 years. So, by the end of the day, everybody's going to die. So, he goes to the famous way of looking at things, but he does a little bit differently. Let's try to envision, and it's what every one of us should do. Give yourself a real good picture, as good as possible. You're leaving this world after the day you die. Now you're coming to the heavenly court. We're all going to go to the heavenly court, so we might as well get ready for it a little bit. So we're going to give you a nice picture. Sometimes the pastor said, you know, you might be going to hell and think of the punishment. No, no. Let's say you had your judgment and you got a pass. You got a pass. You had more misses than Averis. Yeah, you're getting in. You're getting it. You're going to Gan Eden. So it's a nice picture ready. It's ready a nice picture, right? So now, who are you going to meet in Gan Eden? Start visualizing. Who are you going to meet? Who's going to be your buddies? What kind of Gan Eden do you imagine God's going to sit you down? Who's going to be in your chevra? You're walking into the stadium in Shemayim, right? It's filled to capacity with millions of Jewish souls, and there's also have, you know, so who are you going to sit next to? You know, just like when you're at a wedding, you know, everyone comes to a wedding, a lot of people are worried, who do they sit me next to? I hope they didn't sit next to those people. Oh man. Those people, all they do is they talk all day long, just nonsensical things, and they got to smile and put on a show. I hope they put them next to my good friends. Oh, I'd like to be with my good friends, you know. And even for a bar mitzvah, there are people with anxiety attacks. Before they go, I'm going to have to say, I'll die if they put me next to my sister-in-law. Whatever. You know, it's like, unbelievable. And then people get all kinds of tainas at the Bali Simcha, and they get upset with them. Why? You know I can't stand being with those people. How come my other friends, you know, there were seven of us, and they put five couples on one table. They all had a good time. And me, they put with all the nerds over there. You know, and Nebuch, what can Baal Simcha do? The table's only so big, he only put so many. Right? Yeah. So, you know, and all kinds of machloikas come out of that such silly thing. You know, just make 10 tables for the men and every sit we want to sit. Finished. 10 tables for the women, sit we want to sit. This whole place card business. We spend hours, days, months figuring where to sit people. Just sit wherever you want to sit. How am I supposed to sit anyway? How long are you supposed to sit anyway? You're supposed to be dancing. If you're at a cinema, you're supposed to be dancing. How much are you supposed to say? How long does it take to eat the meal? 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes? You're not supposed to talk when you're eating anyway. You're finishing. You get up. You go. Where do you sit? You're like you're glued to this place for the next 6 hours. You can't move anywhere. It's going to make a difference who you're sitting with. Head table, short table. Okay, you have the head table. You have the chas and kal, the parents. That's it. Everyone sit where you want to sit. That's all. It's not a problem. Put a couple extra tables. Think so there's some, you know, you can't put 10, 10, 10, 10, so one will have six more. Finished. I don't know. To this day, I can't understand it. These canons, I don't know where people make themselves crazy. I don't understand. Maybe someone wants to explain it to me. I don't get it. The hours you spend trying to play crossword puzzle with people's lives. Yeah, you know, I'm going to like this, I'm like this, I'm going to be upset. There's this, this. I'm going to have 8 over here, 6 over here. So, I mean, you have to put 2 couples that don't fit in there. Just, yeah, I don't understand. And then you don't even know that certain people hate certain people. You don't even know. You're not a prophet. How can you even know that they got into a fight last week? You can't keep up to date with all the Lashon Hara's going on. I mean, explain it. You know, please, somebody tell me, what am I missing here? What am I missing here that I'm not understanding? Can you? No, I'm really serious.
Human nature.
I'm sorry. Why can't you tell the caterer we're expecting 250 people, 130 men, 120 women? Set up tables for 150 men, so there's a couple extra spaces. You know, so it's not going to cost you that much. Just tables. It's not just putting a table with another thing, another $50. Just that's all.
See, we do that for Shabbaton, and invariably people phone and say, "Oh, I need to reserve this table." And then we have like 4, 5, 6 tables.
No, reserved. So it's different than a wedding. No, when you're doing that, it's a mishpacha. You want to have your whole family has a table. That's not a problem. If a whole table, it's a whole family has a table. That's not a problem. When you're doing weddings, you have couples. It's not a whole family. It's not a family of 10 or 20. And if you have certain mishpacha, okay, you have the mishpacha afterwards. But you got these hundreds of people. You reserve 4 tables for mishpacha. Finished. 4 tables for mishpacha. Done. 4 tables. You know, how much family do you have? 50 people? 5 tables for mishpacha. It's right on the tables. Mishpacha. Reserved for family. Finished. Reserve for family. That's it. You reserve a family. You know, it's the whole thing's ridiculous. When we had these shul ones, and in the beginning time, we tried this. Some organization needed work on this. It's crazy. It's crazy, you know. It's but I see people tell me that how long it takes. It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense. And people agonize over it, and they spend hours, and they're up late at night. That's not what your Avodas Hashem is about. That's not why you're getting your daughter married. You know, and that's why people have excuses. They can't learn Torah because they have to spend all the time working on the tables. I couldn't go to class. I couldn't learn. I can't learn this year. This whole year I can't learn because my daughter's getting married. I don't get it. I'm sorry. I'm on the wrong planet. I'm on the wrong wavelength. Anyway, so we're talking about Olam Hazeh. Now, guess what? Hashem, though, has to do it. Hashem does have to decide where he's going to sit forever. But Hashem, it's not hard for Hashem. He can just do it like that. Right? You know, you should tell people, you know, take all the cards and just, you know, do a goyrel. Table 1. And just, what Hashem did all the organizing. Hashem, I did a lottery, and Hashem decided everything. Go complain to Hashem. Hashem decided. What do you want me? Anyway, so let's see what's going to happen. Who are you going to sit next to? Bottom paragraph. Yisrael Latzma. Think to yourself. If they're going to tell me I'm going to sit next to Reuven, Shani Makir also Ka'adam She'enu Kol Kach Korv HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I know he is in close to Hashem. How do I know? Because I know that during laning he's out schmoozing with people. He spends the whole time schmoozing with people. And during Shalosh Shudas he runs away, you know, right away. And he doesn't come to this. And he talks during this. And if they would tell me I would sit next to this guy, I'd be embarrassed to sit next to this guy. Right? Hey, Margi Shomtov, would I feel good sitting with those clowns? Right? Bavadei Shelo. Not at all. Gam Shimon lo nira kol kach matim lefi madrigasi. And even sitting next to Shimon isn't so matim. I'm not so happy because what I am. Ulai Levi Yehuda matim. Maybe better Levi and Yehuda. I'd rather sit next to them, but I don't want to sit next to the other guys. Think in your mind. Who do you want to sit next to really in Olam Haba? I mean, I know when your Yetzer Hara gets a hold of you, who you want to hang around with. Who you want to have scotch with or whatever and play around with. But I mean, in Olam Haba, who do you really want to be around with? There are guys who are popular guys. But are those the ones you want to really sit with in Olam Haba forever? In the real world? Is that, you know, when you're going to want to maybe hear a little bit what the shir that Hashem is giving out on, maybe you're going to want to be a little better. So la'achar shi'avar la'atzo mi'am anashi shaladai t'ro l'sheva si'bom Gan Eden. Once you've clarified, who are those people you want to sit with in Gan Eden? Yivdok mi heim osam anashi shu'adeh she'enam amadrega shu'chol l'sheva si'tam. You should check out and see who are those people that he knows are not on the madrega that could be, that he could be sitting with them. Ulai hu yiro osam merachok. Maybe he'll see them at a distance. Ulai gam zelo. Maybe he won't at all. Al davar echad hu mami lasver. One thing he knows for sure. She'itam ulo yuchos. I can't sit with these guys. Certain guys, there's no way he could sit with. Right. Okay. Well, we're in the middle. We're going to have to pick this up. There's too much to do. We can't fit it in now. So we'll continue. But for today, just think about who do you really want to sit next to in Gan Eden? And who don't you? And what do you think are the likelihoods and the probabilities that you will be sitting next to those people? Well, we'll continue this tomorrow, Mitzvah.